November 24th, 2015.
Good? Okay. We can use a little Simcha. Yeah. Haven't learned in a while. We're up to. We'll start again for the Mishnah Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. There are three types of behemoths, three types of animals that you can shecht. There's behemoth chayav v'yoif. The mitzvah of kiser hadam only applied mitzvah to have a sand on top or sawdust on top, sawdust on the bottom. Mitzvah kiser hadam only applies to chayav v'yoif. It doesn't apply to behemoths. And the shecht behemoth is no need for kisi adam. So the Mishnah says, if a person shechts behemoth chayav v'yoif, any one of the three, but liyotzim hem dam, no dam came out, ksherim, it's kosher anyway. So what's the chiddush? Some ga'onim, the Rishonim quote, some of the ga'onim interpreted that the chiddush is that one might have thought, the Gemara has later like that, that kisi adam is the gemara of the shechita. Whatever you do with the dam, even the shecht karbonis, so the dalar avodas adam shchita kabbalah ha'ilocha zrika. So the shchita is a haschola of what's going to come later with the dam. So the haschola of the zrika. So the same is true regarding shchitas chay v'yoif. When you need kisa adam is considered the gemar of the shchita. So the goyim, some of the goyim interpret, if you shechted chay v'yoif and dam didn't come out, you didn't do kisa adam. Shouldn't think that Kis Adam is ma'akib in the heaven. Mishnah says it's not ma'akib. Even if you didn't do Kis Adam, or no dam came out, it still is kosher. So the Rishonim asks, so why does it say behema? If that's the Chiddush in the Mishnah, that Kis Adam is not ma'akib, it should only say Ashech Chai V'yayf, or Lo Yatzmeh Dam. So they reject that pshat. Even though a group of Goinim say it like that, they reject that pshat. So what is the Chiddush of the Mishnah? So the Chiddush must be, normally, an animal is kept alive. Human beings and animals are kept alive by the circulation of the dam. That's a pasuk in Chumash, ki adam hu anevish. The circulation of the blood keeps the animal alive. So here, you have a strange case. You shecht an animal, no dam came out. So maybe it's an indication that the blood circulation stopped before. The blood circulation stopped means that the animal was dead already. So if you shecht an animal after it died, then it doesn't help. There's going to be a din later in this parak. What if I shecht an animal that drops dead in the middle of a shechita? I'm shechet misukenis. He shechts an animal that's holding by gesisa, by the end. So a goises is kechai. The animal is a goises, it's still alive. But then I shecht the animal, and usually after you finish a shechita, the animal jumps around a lot. What if I shecht the animal doesn't jump at all afterwards? So then the Mishnah says to teknish, because you have to be concerned, maybe it died in the middle of the shechita. So you didn't finish the shechita on a live animal. So other Rishonim say that's what the chiddush is. So one might have thought this is an indication that the blood circulation already ended before the shechita. Blood circulation ended by definition means that the animal is dead. So I would have thought that maybe it's an avela. So kamash malan, the Mishnah is ksherim anyway. Mishnah says it's kosher. It's never going to happen in a million years. It's never going to happen. What do you mean shecht an animal and then? If there's blood circulation, the blood is going to splatter all over the place. It's highly unlikely. But the Mishnah writes dinim. That's what Tosis points out at the beginning of Suva. Sometimes the Gemara writes a din that's never, the case is never going to come up in a million years, but the Mishnah has to cover every possible theoretical case. Okay. Tosis quotes like that. Tosis proves it from a Gemara. There's a Gemara in Bchoris, and the Gemara says, if you have an animal that's giving birth for the first time, and you take the embryo from the womb of this animal, you put it into another animal, and then the other animal gives birth, so does it have the din of b'chor behemah tohira or not? It's the firstborn animal, but it wasn't, the embryo was from a different animal. So Tosfos says on that Gemara, it's never going to happen in a million years. The Gemara talks about all the abstract cases, even if it's never going to happen. It does happen. Now they do it ma'aseh m'chol yom. They take embryos from one animal, they put it into the womb of another animal. But the Baal HaTais thought it's never going to happen. Anyway, so the Mishnah has this unlikely din. So then there's a din, this, what is that? He said, Dayim Roelis means you're Dayim Tameo. So Pasha Pshat is, how do you have either the person is Tami, the person is Tahar? You can't have, let's say I touch a mace. So my whole body is Tami. You don't say just my hands are Tami. Either the whole body is Tami. So there's a din midirabbanon that there's tumas hayadayim. That's an invention midirabbanon. On the level of the rice, it doesn't exist. That one organ of the body should be tummy and the rest of the body should be tahor. So that's called you're permitted to eat this flesh be a daimusuavis, despite the fact that the hands are tummy. And by touching this flesh, the tumah may be transmitted. So Mishnah says the tumah will not be transmitted. Why? Because there's a difference between what are the four categories of things that are makabel tumah or the mekelim ochel mamashkim. So ochel mamashkim is only meichel adam, not meichel behem. So why do we call it two different categories? Or the mekelim are two categories. Ochel mamashkim means food. So just say food. Now there's a difference. Ochel maroli mekabel tumah, if the food was hukshel mekabel tumah, if you rinsed it off, let's say you have an apple. When the apple is growing on the tree, so it rained on it many times. But kol zmanis mechubel karka, it can't be mekabel tumah, and it's not mekabel hechsher either. After the apple is detached, so you have melons that are attached to the ground, the grain, whatever, anything that grows from the ground, vegetables or fruits or whatever, grain, you have to first detach it from the ground, then rinse it off with one of the Zayim Mashkim, the Rashi Tevis is Yad Shoch Adam. Once you rinse it off with a Mashke, then it's Huchshel Lekabel Tumah. So the Mishnah has over here, normally when you get flesh, when somebody did a Shechita, and the blood gushed out, so the Dam Shana Shama Yotzba is one of the Zayin Mashkim that's Machshel Lekabel Tumah. Dam Behem Shana Shama Yotzba is Machshel Lekabel Tumah. Because the Pasuk says, Al Ha'oritz Tishpechenu Kamayim, the Gemara quotes it over here. It says, when you shecht an animal, you shouldn't drink the dam. You should spill the dam out like water. So just like water is makshe lekabel tumah, kiyuta mayim alzera, that's the original mashke, is water. So too, the dam shanashama yotzeba, when you shecht an animal, that dam is also considered like mayim, is makshe lekabel tumah. That's what the Gemara has over here, a chidush. On our daf, the Gemara is going to have about 5 lines, 6 lines from the bottom. Only dam behem aschulim, Dam Shanashama Yotzebo is Machshel Lekabel Tumah. Dam Kochim is not Machshel Lekabel Tumah, because the only dam that is Hukash that's compared to Mayim is dam that's Nishpach Kamayim. Al Horst Tishpachena Kamayim, if you throw it out. But if it's dam for Korbanis and the Halacha requires you have to collect it, you have to catch it in a Klishoris, Mizorik it on the Mizbeach, that's the mitzvah, so it's not Hukash Lamayim, because it's not Nishpach Kamayim. It's not Nishpach Kamayim. Tosis has here a famous Kasha. That we usually say that behema bechalal chaya and chalaya bechalal behema. Whenever you have a pasuk in Chumash that talks about behema, so we assume it applies both to behema and to chaya. We have a pasuk that talks about chaya, we assume it applies equally to chaya and to behema. There are differences lalacha between a behema and a chaya. Let's say chaylev. The exact same thing that by behema is chaylev and an isakar is by a chaya it's mutter. You're allowed to eat it. Or let's say kisu hadam. The pasuk says if you shecht Chayu or Oaf, Asher Yochel Bamachane. If you shech the behemah, you don't need Kisi Adam. Well, there are a few differences elsewhere. Bno only applies to behemah, doesn't apply to Chaya. What else? There are more differences between behemah and Chaya. Gemara is going to have later. So the Gemara, Tesis quotes, so the Gemara later raises the question, maybe I should say behemah bechlal Chaya, when the Chumash says when you shech the behemah, when you shech the Chayu or Oaf, Asher Yochel, when you shechti, after du kisi adam, have offer lamayla, offer malmata. Maybe when it says chai, behem is bechlal chai, maybe behem should also need kisi adam. Gemara says it can't be. Because you have this pasuk that says, al horis tishbechenu kamayim. There's such an institution of throwing out the dam. When you shecht adam, you throw out the dam. So that's only possible if you don't need kisi adam. If you need kisi adam, you can't throw out the dam. You have to be careful to do kisi on top and on the bottom. So it must be that there is some kind of an animal or another that needs shechita. Here the pasuk says, when you shecht the behemah, you now rak adam la sechel alos tishvchenu kamayim. So the Gemara says tishvchenu kamayim means that you don't need kisi adam. So chaya and oaf, you do need kisi adam. So you can't use that expression alos tishvchenu kamayim. So the Gemara proves that even though normally behemah is included in chaya, but when that pasuk speaks about kisi adam, it can't be that it includes all behema chaya and oif, because the pasuk says there is some animal that you shecht that you don't need kisi adam. It's tishbechenu kamayim. So it must be that that's referring to behema, and kisi adam is only by chaya, not by behema. So Tosfos Hatakasha, Gemara say there are two animals where the dam is not nishpach kamayim. One is behemas kochim, that the dam is not nishpach kamayim, and one is chayva of, the dam is not nishpach kamayim because you need kisei adam. You can't just throw it out and do whatever you want with it. So just like the Gemara says here, the dam kochim is not nishpach kamayim, so therefore it's not hukash lamayim. The pasuk, how do you know that there are seven mashkim? Pasuk says that Oichlema Mekabel Tume only if they were Huchsher with Mayim. Kiyuta Mayim Al Zera. If you rinsed it off with Mayim, if you rinsed off the apple with water, you cleaned it off with water, then it's Huchsher Mekabel Tume. If you didn't rinse it off with water, then not. Then the Torah Shabbat Beh says, Lav Davke Mayim, there are seven Mashkim. And they quote Psukim to indicate all the Yad Shech Adam, all the other six Mashkim. So what's the Pasuk that indicates that Dam from an animal Dam Shanashama Yotzebo. The Gemara says, not Stam Dam, let's say Stam Dam Hakoze. An animal is bruised, it fell and is bruised and is bleeding a little bit, but the animal is not going to die because of that Dam. So that Dam is not Machshel L'Kabel Tumah. The Gemara says, only Dam Shanashama Yotzebo is Machshel L'Kabel Tumah. That's also because the Gemara, what do you mean Dam Shanashama Yotzebo? So you see, the Gemara assumes that based on that Pasuk, Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh, that the blood circulation keeps the animal alive. And if you lose enough blood, then the organism is going to die. So that's why there's a concept of dam shanashama yotzeba as opposed to dam shein anashama yotzeba. Dam hakozes, dam, the animal is bleeding a little bit. That's not machshel l'kabel tumah. Only dam shanashama yotzeba. I don't remember. The Gemara at the end of Shabbos talks about dam hakoza by Odom. I don't remember. But the Gemara said by behemoth is like that. By behemoth is like that. I don't remember. So Tosis has this kasha over here. Just like the Gemara says over here, the dam kochim is not machshel l'kabel tumah because it's not hukash l'dam, it's not hukash l'mayim because it's not nishpach kamayim. You're not allowed to throw it out stam azoy. You have to collect the dam kochim in a klisharis and mizork it on the mizbeach. So dam from a chay of the oif should also not be hukash l'mayim. And the Mishnah is mafshma beferish natsa. When you shech behem a chay of the oif, if yotze mehem dam, so the little dam that comes out, it's a lot of dam, not a little dam. The dam that comes out, let's say I have an apple, and I rinse off the apple, so it's hukshel l'kabel tumah. You have to rinse off, you have to take the apple and dip it into a bucket of water and wash it off, hold it under a faucet of water, wash it off all arum and arum. No, if you pour a little water on one side of the apple, the whole apple is hukshel l'kabel tumah. So here also you have a big behemah, a gigantic behemah. When you shecht it, so the whole neck gets all full of dam, and sometimes splatters other places also. But you didn't wash off. He didn't wash off the whole animal with dam shanashama yotzeba, just the neck got washed off. That's enough. So just like the apple, if you wash off half an apple, so the whole apple is hukshel l'kabel tumah, so the neck of the animal is enough. So the Mishnah says, if it would have been yotze mehem dam, yishech behem achai v'yev, yotze mehem dam, that dam that comes by the neck is machsha the whole flesh of the whole behemah. Behem achai v'yev to be mekabel tumah. If no dam came out, so it was never hukshel l'kabel tumah, so it's not mekabel tumah. If you rinsed it off with one of the Zayin Mashkim, and Dam Shanashama Yotzeba is one of the Zayin Mashkim. So that's Tosis Kasha. Chayiv Yoif need Kisei Adam. And the Gemara says, since it needs Kisei Adam, it's not called Nishpach Kamayim. So just like Kochim is not Nishpach Kamayim because he's supposed to collect it in a Klishores, and since it's not Nishpach Kamayim, so it's not Hukash L'Adam. So Dam Kochim is not to be compared to Mayim, so it's not Machshel L'Kabel Tumah. So you ought to say that Dam from Mechai V'Yoif is also not Hukash to Mayim, because it's not Nishpach Kamayim. It should be the same as Dam Kochim. And you see, it's not so. The Gemara just says Dam Kochim is not Machshel L'Kabel Tumah. The Mishnah is Machshel B'Feirish Dam Chai V'Yoif is Machshel L'Kabel Tumah. That's Tosis Kash. So what's the answer? It's a good question. What's the answer? That's the Tosis B'Yoif Maschel HaShechet. They asked that kasha. So they say the Yeshlam an answer. What's the answer? I think the answer is like this. By Dam Kochim, I think the Dam Alpidin has Kedushin. The Dam Kochim is, the Dam is not Nishpach Kamayim. The Dam of a Chay of the Yof, it's not a din in the Dam. There's a din, if you shech the Chay of the Yof, the Gemara of the Shechiter, by Chay of the Yof requires you should do Kisei Adam. But it's not that the Chefts of the Dam requires the Kisei Adam. It's a din in shechting Chay of the Yof. Mashiach came by Kochim. The Dam is Ton Zrika. So the dam is en anizra kamayim. The other one, it's a din in the gavra. You can't be zorikit, you can't be shoifechit kamayim, because you have a mitzvah to do kisei adam, but the dam biatzmus is the same as any other dam. Let's say you'll do a blood transfusion. You take dam from a behemoth and put it into a chayv v'yoif, and you succeed in taking out every drop of blood from the chayv v'yoif, and the dam that'll be running in it's, I don't know, will it keep it alive? I don't know. Let's say if you use human blood, you use a blood transfusion, you give to a behemoth. Human blood will keep the behemoth alive. I don't know, did he ever try to do it? I don't know. So let's say you take dam from a behemoth and give a blood transfusion to the chayv v'yoif, remove all of the dam of the chayv v'yoif, and now it's only going to have dam behemoth. It doesn't. Will you need kisei adam or not? The answer, of course you need kisei adam. You shechting chayv v'yoif. Whatever dam comes out, it's not a din that dam chayv v'yoif needs kisei adam and dam behemoth doesn't need it. If you shechting chayv v'yoif, the dam that comes out, it's not a din in the cheftz of the dam. You shecht the chayv v'yoif, so that shechita requires kisei adam or whatever dam comes out. Hashani came dam kachim. The dam kachim requires zrika on the mizbech. It's not just because the animal is a korban.
What did you say? You took a dam kachim and transfused it into a
chayah,
or into a behemoth, whatever.
That'll be a problem, because dam kachim has kedusha. Dam kachim has kedusha. You need zrika sadam. We call it the dalar avayda sadam. Shchita kabbalah halacha zrika called the dalar avayda sadam by the korbanos. The dam is mechayiv in zrika. Hasheni came the dam of chayiv yoif. It's not that the dam is not the mechayiv. The shchita of the chayiv yoif is mechayiv. I think that's what Tosis means to answer. Anyway, but so the Mishnah has that din. If you, a theoretical din, abstract, never going to happen in a million years. You shecht an animal, and no dam came out for the next. So it was never hukshul kabal tumah. Unless you're going to rinse it off. If you want to eat the flesh, we always rinse it off. Then we salt it, then we do hadocha akraina. You rinse it before you do the malicha, you rinse it after you do the malicha. So you're going to rinse it off with water. So of course it's going to be hukshul kabal tumah because of the rinsing it off. That's what Tosis points out over here. The next little Tosis has that. Tosis says, how can you eat? Don't you have to wash off the blood? You're going to wash off the blood, so it's going to be hukshul kabal tumah when you wash it off with the water. And the Tais says, well, maybe they can rinse off the blood with meperis. Meperis is not for nizai mashkin. So you have apple juice, or you have orange juice, or something like that, some cider. So the only nizai mashkin are machshel lekabel tumah. Meperis are not considered mashkin that are machshel lekabel tumah. Whatever. The din is that dam mevarim shelo pirish is mutta. The din, the prohibition against eating dam, is only the dam in the heart. Is dam, or dam in big arteries is dam, but dam in the capillaries, that's called dam evarim. So if you eat a piece of raw meat and you didn't salt it, there's no prohibition of dam. The dam is considered the moel habasar, that's the juice in the flesh. If you're going to cook the piece of meat without salting it, then we assume cooking will cause the dam to go into the water, into the soup, then it's going to go back into the piece of flesh. Then it'll be dam evarim shepirish, because it went out into the water, then it went into the soup. Then it's going to go back into the piece of flesh. But just have a raw piece of flesh, even a raw piece of liver. Let's say a person has raw liver. So one could have argued the point and said that kovid is kula dam. You had a taisvis in Kolabasa had such an expression, kovid is kula dam. Nonetheless, the poskim say it's still mutta. If you want to eat raw liver, you don't need malicha, you don't need tzliya, because dam evarm shalot pirish, there are no arteries there. Blood in the arteries, that's blood. But blood in the capillaries, that's not considered blood until it's pierced, till it leaves. So one could have said, how can the Mishnah say, you can eat the piece of flesh, and yadayim atmeyas will not succeed in being metame the piece of flesh? There's never hukshul kabal tumah. So they says the kasha, how can you eat it? It's full of blood. Don't you have to rinse it off? The answer is no. You wipe off the dam on the surface, and the dam that's inside, you don't have to salt, you don't have to broil it. This dam evarim shel pirish is not a problem. So that's the machlekes hatanaim. Tanakama holds that the only way flesh is hukshul lekabel tumah is if the dam came out by the neck at the time of shechita. That little bit of dam is machshul all the flesh of the whole animal, even though that dam is not touching the flesh in the legs or the flesh in another part. It's machshul everything lekabel tumah. Or if you wash it off with water after the shechita. And the next Tanah, Rab Shimon, I'm Rab Shimon Bar Yochai, disagrees with Tanakama. He says, what do you mean? The act of shechita itself gives it the shame oichel. What's the whole din? Why do you need hukshul kabal tumah? What kind of halacha is that? That if you didn't rinse it off, you have food, you have an apple, you didn't rinse it off with water, so it's not mekabal tumah. If you didn't rinse it off with water, it is mekabal tumah. What is that all about? So I think we mentioned last time that the Ramban on Chumash claims that the mashke is a conductor, like there are certain things, certain materials that conduct electricity. Certain materials conduct heat, and others don't conduct heat. So there's the Ramban claims that mashke conducts tumah. So the food is only, the meikar adin, the food should only be mekabel tumah if it's still wet on the outside. But let's say you washed off an apple, then you dried it off, and then you touch it when you're tumah. So the ikar adin should have been, it's only mekabel tumah when it's still moist on the outside, when it has drops of water on the outside. But the Torah made a lo plug deraisa, Chiddush Ramban has, the Torah made a lo plug deraisa, even if you dried off the fruits. Let's say you washed off grapes, and then you dried them off. So now there's no longer any mashke. So it's a lo plug deraisa. The ikar adin should have been that it's only mekabel tumah if it has the moisture on the outside, because mashke is a conductor of tumah. And the Torah made a light plug, even if he dried it off, it's also mekabel tumah. So Rav Soloveitchik didn't understand like that at all. His lashon was, anybody who knows the ABC of Mishnayis Machshirin, about Huchshel mekabel tumah, being Machshir d'Oichel, knows that that's not the pshat, like the Ramban and Chumash, it's an awkward Ramban. He said, that's not the pshat. The pshat is it doesn't have a shem oichel until you rinse it off. Let's say you have an apple. So the apple is dirty, so you have to wash it off. So once you wash it off, now it's clean, now it's Huchshel mekabel tumah. So it does make sense if you wash it off with dam, that's Huchshel mekabel tumah. So that the Torah made it in. The Zayin Mashkim are considered they clean off the. It's better to eat the apple the way it is than to eat the apple after rinsing it off with dam. Dam is going to make it filthier. No one's going to want to eat it. But that's Gzeiras HaKosev. We have Zayin Mashkim, but the idea, the principle behind Huchshel mekabel tumah is not so much that the mashke is a conductor of tumah, like the Ramban says, but and it's a loy plug. No, the word is once you wash off the food, it's cleaner, so it's huchshel mekabel tumah. You give it a shem oichel. Before it doesn't have a shem oichel, and after you wash it off, then it has a shem oichel. So that's why Reb Shimon said, Reb Shimon disagrees with Tanakam. He said, when do you need to rinse it off with a mashke? That's if it's an apple, if it's a pear, if it's potatoes, if it's a melon. But it's a behemah, and he did the shechita, so the shechita gives it a shem oichel. The shechita is machshirit lachila. Before you do the shechita, it's iser ev melachai, it's iser basa melachai, not allowed to eat it, ena zavuach. And after you do the shechita, it's machshirit lekabel tumah. So he argues, says, the shechita itself, huchshiru b'shechita, even if no dam comes out. Talking about the abstract case. What the Gemara has later on the daf, three lines from the bottom, there's an institution that's called chibas hakodesh machshirosam. Rashi quotes the Gemara. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk. Rashi quotes Psochem Daf Lamed Hey. You see three lines from the bottom and four lines from the bottom in Rashi. Rashi writes, "V'habosar shiga v'chol tomei lo yeyochon." Says v'habosar with avog. V'habosar is a ribui le'rabbis eitzim ulevayna. When you burn things on the mizbeach, so you burn sometimes besamim. That's called levayna. Or you burn logs on the mizbeach, and you have the fire made on the logs in order to burn the chelav. No, to burn a carbon oil, all the evarim, all the emurim. Emurim are the chelev, and the evarim are the carbon oil. So the halacha says that's called lachma shel hamizbeach, that's called oichel of the mizbeach. The Gemara has a drasha. There's a din of pigul. What's a din of pigul? If you shech the carbon, you have in mind to eat it, chutz lizmana, im heyachel yachel, im sazevach hashlamim, v'yam hashlishi, pigul hu lo yeyrotze. So the pasha pshat is, if you shech the carbon today, you shech the carbon, let's say, on Tuesday, so you can eat it Tuesday night, and Wednesday, that's called Shnei Yomim V'Laila Echad. Kachim Kalim. Karbon Shlom is Nechal. You shech it on Tuesday in the daytime, so you can eat it Tuesday night, and Wednesday, Shnei Yomim V'Laila Echad. You can't eat it on Wednesday night. So the Pasuk says, V'im Heyochel Yeyochel B'Yom HaShlishi, if you eat the flesh on Thursday, so that's already on the third day, Pigul Hu Lo Yerotzeh. So the Gemara said, how can it be? What do you mean? He brought a carbon today, and it was 100% kosher. Everything was fine. But because somebody goes and eats it on Thursday, that makes a puzzle. Who? Makes a puzzle, and my friend can't be. So the Gemara said, that's not what the pasuk means. It means, if heyachal yeachal means, he shechts the animal with machshevas pigul. He shechts the animal, and from the very outset, he plans to eat it on Thursday. So then you're not even allowed to eat it on Tuesday night and Wednesday. That's called pigul. So why does the pasuk say two, a double osh, heyachal yeachal? The Gemara says, Echad achilas adam, v'echad achilas mizbeach. Either the one who did the shechita, kabbalah, halacha, zrika, any one of the dalar avodas adam, the one who did the avoda and the dam, had in mind, he had in zin, that either that a person is going to eat a kazayis on Thursday, or that you're going to burn the chalev on the Mizbeach tomorrow. The chalev on the Mizbeach, the chalev is kachin kachin. The korban itself, let's say, Hashlamim is kachin kalim. So the zman of the kachin kalim is shnei yamim v'lai lechad. You brought it Tuesday before the Shkia. You have Tuesday night, and Wednesday. So that's the zman, and that the mokum of kachin kalim is the whole Yerushalayim. You can eat the shlamim in Yerushalayim. But the chalev, or the dam, that's burnt on the Mizbeach, or the dam is nizuk on the Mizbeach. So the chalev and the dam have the status of kachin kachin. That's kachim am yechadim l'Hashem. So that, let's say, you take the dam out of the azor, you bring it back in, it's already nifsal b'yotze. Why is it nifsal b'yotze? If it's kachim kalim, so it should have the whole Yerushalayim, the makam is Yerushalayim. If you take the chutzlam kaima, it becomes nifsal b'yotze. The answer is, but the chalev and the dam is called kachim kachim. That's not kachim kalim. The chalev dam of a kachim kalim is kachim kachim. So the din is, if you save, let's say, the chalev, instead of burning the chalev on the Mizbeach today, you brought the korban shlamim today on Tuesday. So you have to burn the chalev either today or tonight. If you leave it over, you burn it tomorrow, you're not allowed to. That's already nifsal belina. That's nifsal belina. So if you shech the korban shlamim today on Tuesday, intending to eat the flesh on Thursday, because you have shnei yamim v'lai lecha, you tend to eat it on Thursday, that's the third day. Or you shech the korban shlamim today, intending to be makta the chalev tomorrow, it'll be nifsal belina if you lead over till the morning, because the chalev is kachim kachim. And this kachim kachim has a restricted makam and a more restricted zman. The restricted zman is only on v'layla, at chatzais. So that's the pasuk. Heyachal, yeyachal. Either achilas adam or achilas mizbeach, chutz lizmanoi. So that makes it into pigul. So the chumash calls what you burn on the mizbeach is also called achila. It's called achilas mizbeach. It's achilas adam and achilas mizbeach. Heyachal, yeyachal. Echad achilas adam, echad achilas mizbeach will make it into pigul. So the Gemara has a din that the Eitzim Ulevayna are also Mekabel Tuma. How can it be Mekabel Tuma? It's not Meichel Adam. The halacha is you only have four categories of things that are Mekabel Tuma. Adam, Mekele, Mochel, Mamashkin. The Ochel Mamashkin has to be Meichel Adam. That's not Meichel Adam. The answer is, but the Pasuk calls it Achilles Mizbeach. Heyachel, Yeyachel. So since it's called Achilles Mizbeach, it's called Lachma Shel Ishim. The food of the fire. The Ishim of the fire is on the Mizbeach. Lachma Shel Mizbeach. So the halacha said that's chibus hakodesh machshir yosef. The eitzim alevoino is mekabel tum even though it's not roil achilo sodom. The Torah calls it achilo. So what's taka the din? Eitzim alevoino is mekabel tum. Do you have to rinse it off with water? No, you don't have to rinse it off. That's the din of chibus hakodesh. The whole idea of rinsing off, you need to rinse off the oichlim with the zayin mashkim in order that the shegeir shem oichel. But this has a shem oichel. You makriv it on the mizbech. It's called achilos mizbech. So that's what Reb Shimon Tain is. If you shecht any animal, you did a proper shechita, you didn't make it in a vela, so ein lecha hechsher, that gives it a shem oichel, ein lecha hechsher echel godel mizeh. We don't pass like Reb Shimon. We say, no, you got to have dafke, the dam. And if lo yotzim imen a dam, so it's not machshel lekabel tuma. There is a kosev that you need dafke, the dam shanashama yotzibo. Dam akos of the behema, dam akos of stam bleeding of a wound, is not machshel lekabel tuma. The Gemara says only dam shanashama yotzeba is machshel lekabel tuma. So Nachum also, what does the Mishnah have? Your daim have a tuma midirabbanon on the level of the rice. It doesn't exist. Can't be such a thing. The whole guf adam is tohar and only his hands are tummy. But that's a takana derabbanon. There's such a thing as tuma sayadaim midirabbanon. The Gemara is going to discuss it. How far it goes with the din of tuma sayadaim. So your daim atmeyos. So if the flesh was huchshel lekabel tuma, means because dam came out, but we don't pass like Reb Shimon. The shechita itself is machshel lekabel tuma. We pass in you need dafke one of the zayin mashkim, and the dam shanashama yotzebo is one of the zayin mashkim. So if dam didn't come out, so the flesh of the behemo was never huchshel lekabel tuma. So there's no problem. The person can touch the flesh all he wants, and it won't be mekabel tuma. And then later on, if anybody will eat it, it won't pose any problems, because the flesh was never huchshel lekabel tuma. V'nacholim yadayim mesuavis, lefisha lehuchshel b'dam. Even if a person who's yadayim atmeyas, mesuavis means tamei, he has tumas ayadayim midirabban, he's going to touch the flesh, it won't be mekabel tuma, because it was never huchshel lehuchshel b'dam. So the Gemara is going to discuss, what kind of flesh are you talking about over here? What's the din? There's a din with the Rabbana, we know. Stam yadayim shnei aseim. If a person, If a person washes his hands, that's not called stam yadayim. He just removed the tumas yadayim. But if the person is running around all day long, you don't know what he touched. The whole reason why midrabbanan stam yadayim shnir sein is a sheni letuma is because you don't know what he touched in the course of the day. If there's really a, if there would really be a suffering, maybe he touched a dead mouse, maybe he touched a dead behemah nevela, maybe he touched a dead mace adam. So then it wouldn't be enough just to wash until the yadayim. They didn't have to go to the mikveh. And if he touched the mace adam, he has to have hazar shlishi shvi. It's a chumer midrabbanan. He doesn't have any latest suffering. He doesn't have a real suffering. Maybe he touched a dovet tameh. Midrabbanan, they said, treat it as if, act as if you're dying, stam yadayim. If you washed the tillis yadayim, or you went to a mikveh, then you were careful not to touch anything that could possibly cause tumor, then it's not called stam yadayim. Stam yadayim means he was running his chores, he was running his business all day long, comes the end of the day, doesn't know what he touched, so maybe he became tummy. Make believe, maybe he became tummy.
So what is it,
a suffix tummy? It's a chumre midirabana to treat it as if it's a suffix tummy. It isn't, it isn't really. No. A real suffix tummy, we would say, depends, b'shusarabim, it'll be tohar, b'shusayachid, it'll be tummy. But this is a make-believe chumre midirabana. That's tam yadayim shniya sein. So the Mishnah says, he has to wash until the yadayim in advance, then it won't be stam yadayim anymore. So the Gemara wants to know, what are you talking about here? Stam yadayim asheni litumah. That also, on the level of the raisa, there are two things here. On the level of the raisa, it's impossible that the hands are tummy, the rest of the body is tohar. Either the whole person is tummy, the whole person is tohar. So this is a chumra number one with the rabbanu. We declare the yadayim are tummy and the rest of the body is tohar. Then there's another chumra, we say yadayim ashnias. There are different levels of tumah. When the tumah is transmitted from one person to the other, so then the tumah keeps on going down another level, another level. That's called to the same latka yetzibam. So you have the original tumah is a dead body. Dead body is avi avoy satumah. That's the highest level of tumah. Someone, the chevur kadisha, touched the dead body. They do a tara. People attend the funeral. So it's matami ba'ohel. So the mace himself, we call him avi avoy satumah. He's a grandfather of tumah. So the one who touches the mace and one is in the same oil mace, the one who carries the coffin, all of those people, they become an avatum. Then they go home and they shake hands with somebody in shul. So the avatum transmits the tumah to the other person. But maga, he makes him into a rishon tumah. Then the rishon tumah is going to touch another person. He can't be mitami or the mekelim. Or the mekelim can only be mekabel tumah from an avatum or above. So the mace himself is avi avoy satumah. The one who touched the mace, the one who attended the funeral, becomes an avatumah, because the tumah is transmitted from the mace to the one who attends the funeral. So he's an avatumah. An avatumah can be mitami any one of the four, or the mekelim, ochem, and mashkim. So the avatumah, the one who attended the funeral, goes home, he shakes hands with the rabbi and shul, he shakes hands with the gabbah, he makes them into a rishon letumah. The rishon letumah is a tolda, he can only be mitami ochem, and mashkim. He can't be mitami Adam and Kalim. And when he touches Eichel and Mashkin, he makes them into a sheni. So Adam, a human being, can never be a sheni. How can it be a sheni? What, a Rishon touched him. A Rishon Latumah is a tolder. A Rishon is only mitami Eichel and Mashkin, can't be mitami Adam and Kalim. So on the level of the Reis, it never exists that an Adam should be a sheni Latumah. So this is a chumra on top of a chumra. We say the hands are tummy, the rest of the body is tohar. That's chiddush number one. On the level of the Reis, it doesn't exist. We declare Stam Yadayim Atome. Then you say, Stam Yadayim, what level of Tumah doesn't have? Sheni LeTumah. It can't exist on the level of the Reis, that a human body should be a Sheni. If he's dead, he's Avi Avais HaTumah. If he touched the mace, he's an Avatumah. If he touched the person who touched the mace, he's a Rishon LeTumah. He can't be a Sheni. How can it be a Sheni? A Rishon LeTumah touched him. A Rishon is a told that the Gemara said the first half of Bava Kamma. The told is Rishon, Sheni, can only transmit Tumah to Eichel Mamashkin. Can't be mitami odim. So this is a chumra on top of a chumra. That stam yadayim, if you weren't misham with the yadayim, you didn't wash until it's yadayim. Stam yadayim askani is saying. Stam yadayim are tmeyos to the level of a sheni.
Is there a case in the Raisa
on it? Like,
where else
do
we find
real examples
where an object becomes
tamei,
but not the whole thing?
It's based on a remez in a pasuk. The pasuk says, if a person is a zav has a disease, so he becomes an avatumah. So then if he touches someone else, he transmits the tumah, makes him into a rishon, unless the zav went to mikveh. If he went to mikveh, then he's tohar. So the pasuk describing mikveh, instead of saying V'rochat says b'sara says v'yodav lo shatav b'mayim. He didn't wash his hands. He touches someone else with his hands without washing his hands. He's going to wash his hands, not going to help from today till tomorrow. It has to be tovel the whole body in the mikveh. One kind of a misleading pasuk is that v'yodav v'zav touches someone else and he didn't wash his hands. V'yodav lo shatav b'mayim. So the Gemara says it really means he wasn't tovel his body in water. So why does it say such a loshen v'yodav? Mayodav mi'ibaroi, the hands are exposed. So you need, when you're tovel in the mikveh, you don't have to open your mouth. You don't need the water to enter your mouth. You don't have to open up your eyes. You can keep your eyes closed and you keep the mouth closed. Whatever is beis hastorim doesn't need bias mayim. So that's why the Torah says, v'yodav lo shatav b'mayim. He didn't, it's such a misleading expression. Without the Torah Shebal Peh, we would certainly say, if you do netilas yadayim, the hands are tor and the rest of the body is tameh. But it doesn't exist. It's not true. But because of that melitza, so the Gemara says, mikan remez l'netilas yadayim in ator. That's the asmachta. You see that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, when he dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, he told him, write such a lashon, v'yadav l'shata b'mayim, not to mislead people, but to lead the Chachamim to introduce a takana de Rabbanon of tumas yadayim. That the Rebbeinu Shel Olam had this in the back of his mind. He wanted the Chachamim to introduce a din de Rabbanon. Sometimes we say, this was the hidden intention of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and we assume, we read in between the lines, and that's really a din de Raisa. Sometimes he said, it's only an asmachta, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was hinting to us that we should introduce such a din de Rabbanon. That's an asmachta. That's how the Ridvoa has a famous comment in Rosh Hashanah, that asmachta, you shouldn't think that asmachta is just a mnemonic device to remember the din de Rabbanon, just a remez b'yalma. You can make an asmachta, take the New York Times and make a Rosh Yitevis, or take a phone book, and make a gematria Rosh Yitevis. When you have an asmachta in the Chumash, it's not some mnemonic device to remember the din. It means that this was really the kavana that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam had when he dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did he dictate such a strange lashon? V'yodav lo shatav b'mayim. So he was hoping, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was hoping that the Chacham should pick up on it and they should introduce a din de Rabbanon. It shouldn't be a din de Raisa. He hoped that they should introduce a takana de Rabbanon of tumas hayadayim. So they did. They picked up on the Rebbe and they did. So on the level of the Raisa, of Yodav Lashat Mamai means the Zav will touch someone. The Chika Zav Batohar, a Zav touches an Adam Tohar, or some Kalim that are Tohar. The Yodav Lashat Mamai, he touched with his hands and he hadn't washed the Tilus Yadayim. Tilus Yadayim is not going to help. Lamala Valamar means he wasn't Tevil in the Mikveh. So what does it say about Yodav Lashat Mamai? Yodav Mi Baroi. You only have to be Tevil in the Mikveh, those parts of the body that are exposed. Let's say a person normally walks like this. So when you tovel in the mikveh, it's not really necessary to pick your hands up all the way like this, or to spread your legs apart so far. In between the legs, there's a little bit, the person is fat, so in between the legs, there's going to be a little bit of area that's going to also considered the beis hastar. Inside the mouth is beis hastar. You can open your mouth up sometimes also, but inside the mouth is beis hastar. Let's say the bottom of the feet, also called beis hastar. When you tovel in the mikveh, let's say, there's no need that you should have water, you should jump up. The Rash, Amishnais, Mikvahs quotes. There were some women who had a chumrah, when they were tovel in the mikveh, they would jump up so that the bottom of their feet would have the water touching at the same time that their whole body would be submerged under the water. When you first walk into the mikveh, so you get the water on the bottom of your feet. But then, you're walking, you're heavy, the person is heavy, he's standing on the floor, so there's no water. In between, there's no water from the mikveh in between his feet and the bottom of the mikveh. And then by the time he's tovel under the mikveh, so the whole body is submerged under the level of the water, but the bottom of the feet are not touching the water. That's the weight is pushing down. There's no water over there. So the halacha says the bottom of the feet is called beis hastar. That's called beis hastar, like the inside of the mouth, the inside of the eye. So over here also, it's also called beis hastar, certain parts. Inside of the nose, let's say inside of the nose, is called beis hastar. You don't need water to go all the way in.
When in the forest, we talked about folding a bed, it says that the mayim and kadmon does touch the bottom.
Right. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It depends how tightly you hold it. Let's say you table a glass in the mikveh. So you don't want the glass to drop. So if you hold it very tightly, then you tovel in the mikveh, so you say the water never touched the outside of the glass, and no good. So if you put first the bottom of the glass in the mikveh, there's a little bit of water, and then you hold it not so tightly, hold it loosely, Then you tovel the whole glass in the mikveh. So they say, Amayim Mekadmin, there was a little bit of the water was there before, and I'm not holding it so tightly. Let's say sometimes you tovel a baby. Someone is Megayra, a little baby. Today it's Nagir to Geirus. Years ago, a baby would be tummy. Somebody would tovel a baby to make him tovel. So you want to hold on to the baby, you shouldn't drown in the water. So the din is, if you hold on too tightly, then it doesn't help my Mekadmin. If first you, you dip the baby in the mikveh a little bit, the feet, the chveis, and add a little bit of water, got on the feet, then you hold on a little bit, and not so tightly, you don't squeeze too tightly, then you say, my Mekadmin, there is a little bit of the water in between his hands, and the body, or between his hands and the cup. So that's an extension of the mikveh. That's the Mishnah, you're right, my Mekadmin, that's the Mishnah. So the Gemara is trying to figure out what in the world is going on over here. What do you mean? Yadayim misu'avos, the hands are sheni. A sheni is also shlishi b'chumah v'kotchim. So what's over here? Let's say dam would have come out. So then the flesh would have been hukshel l'kabel tumah. And then if he would touch the flesh with his hands, the flesh would be m'kabel tumah. The flesh can't be tumah. Truma has to be gedula, it has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. The flesh can't be truma. What is it? You're talking about kochim? So sheni is matami kochim. So you're talking about a behemas kochim? So the Gemara says it can't be behemas kochim. Behemas kochim, you have to be zerik the dam. If you're not zerik the dam, on the mizbech is gone shvet. You can't use the korban for anything. You need the dalad avodas adam, shechita kabbalah halacha zrika. So how can it say in the Mishnah, shechit v'leyotzim men adam, it's okay? It's not okay. If you shech the korban, the dam doesn't come out, so you didn't do the dalar avodas adam. So obviously the Mishnah is not talking about kochim. So that's what the Gemara comments. What case are you talking about over here? Time dalayatz mehem dam. The whole reason why there's no problem, that's dam yadayim, ashnias, and he's gonna touch the flesh, will not cause the flesh to be in kabal tumah, because the flesh was never hukshar. Dalayatz mehem dam, but if normal shechita, 5 billion... out of 5 billion, of course the dam is going to come out. So it's going to be hukshar. Then if you're going to touch the flesh, it's going to be machsha. The flesh will be hukshar l'kabal tumah with the dam. Dam shana shama yotzebo. Then when you touch it, it's going to become, then ein achonam edam yisabes. Then you can't touch it with your tumah dikehen. Sreg b'gmar, amai. Yadayim shnir sein. It's only a tumah midirabbanon. There is no such thing. As tumah say yadayim on the level, it's only midirabbanon, and the level of tumah is shnias. It's a behemas chulin over here. We're learning maseches chulin, not zvachim. So how can it be? Frag the Gemara. Ve'azok that it's chulin. Maybe this Mishnah is talking about kochim. The Gemara said it can't be. Umimai de bechulin askinan. How do you know? First of all, diktani chayav. It says yeshech the behem chayav yoyf. Chay can never be a korban. You can't bring a korban from a chay. Dilu kochim chay bekochim yika doesn't exist. V'su noch akashe. I bekochim. If you're talking about our Mishnah is talking. You had Mishnah before that the Gemara said it goes on Kochim. You had other Mishnahs, but this Mishnah, it's impossible to say it goes on Kochim. How can it be Kochim if it's a Chaya? Sveita Kasha, how can it be Kochim? It says, Leyatz Mehem Adam is Kosher. How can it be Kosher? By Korbanis, you need the Dalar Avodas Adam. Shechita is the first Avodah on the Dam. The Dam doesn't come out, so you didn't do. So the Gemara says, V'yoid, V'su, he be Kochim. If you're going to Zetzayin on Mishnah, only goes on Korbanis. And that's why the Yodayim Shnias will make the Kochim into a Shlishi, make it puzzle, make it Tameh. Kiliyas Mehem Dam Ksheira. How can it be that if Dam doesn't come out, it doesn't pose a problem? The whole purpose of Korban, Hu Atzma the Dam Utsarech, by Korbanis, the whole purpose of the Shechita is the first Avodas Adam. If Dam doesn't come out, the whole Korban is puzzle. V'su Avrita Kashe. It can't be talking about Iba Kochim, Kiyas Mehem Dam, Mimaksha. And if a Dam would come out, then it would be Maksha the Kabal Tumah. That's against what the Amora says, Rabbi Yechanan. V'am Rab Chei Bar Rav, V'am Rabbi Yechanan, Talmidim say the name Rabbi Yechanan. Me'nai nadam kochim, she'ena machshe. Dam is machshe, dam is one of the Zayin Mashkim, dam shanasham yotzebo by Behema. It's machshe, lekabel tumeh, only if it's dam from chulin. But dam kochim, ena machshe, how do you know? Because how do you know that dam shanasham yotzebo has a din of a mashke? Because it's mentioned in the Pasuk. The Pasuk is talking about Psuli Hamagdoshim. Psuli Hamagdoshim means like this. If you have a korban that gets a mum, so you can't be makir it on the mizbech. You have to wait till it heals. Or you can do surgery. You do surgery, it'll become oiz bal mum. What if the animal gets a mum kavua? So also, if you do surgery, it'll heal, okay? You're not chayiv to do surgery. If it has a mum kavua, even though you can do surgery and fix it, but on its own, it's not going to get better. So the halacha says you have the right to be paid of the carbon. You can't, if you have any carbon that has any other psul, you can't be paid. Only a special din, if it has a mum kavua, then you can be paid. So after you're paid there, then you take, let's say the animal's worth $1,000, so you give $1,000, the behem is yotze l'chulin, and then the $1,000 that you get, you have to buy another carbon chatas, another carbon shlam, another carbon pesach, whatever it is that the original carbon was. When you paid, you give the money, so you have to take that money to buy a substitute carbon for the first one. So the pasuk says, and what do you do with that psuli hamigdoshim? Psuli hamigdoshim is a technical term for behemus kachim shehumum uvenivdu, carbon. They got a mum kavua, and you, if you want, you can do surgery, and it'll be ois mum kavua, you'll be able to be makrifit. But you didn't do surgery. So the halacha says you have a right to be poida. So the pasuk says, there's no prohibition of shchut echutz. Usually, if you have a carbon, you're not allowed to shecht et chutz lazar. Here it says, if you have a carbon, shuhumam v'nifte, it's considered like chulin, and you're allowed to shecht et chutz lebeis amigdosh. If it would have been a carbon that you shechted in the azara, the tummy is not allowed to eat it. And here, because it's psul hamigdoshim shehumam uvenivdu, it got a mum, and you were paid there, so then the tummy can eat it together with the tar. Tummy can eat even though he's tummy, and the tar can eat it even though the tummy touched it. The tummy was metame all the flesh, so the tar is allowed to eat it. If it would have been, if it would retain the kedusha, if you wouldn't have been paid it, if you would not have been paid it, a tummy wouldn't be allowed to eat the flesh of a carbon, and a tohu wouldn't be allowed to eat the flesh of a carbon that became nitmo. But because it was yotze l'chulin, like they pidyon, that's the din. You're allowed to eat it. So then the pasuk says, but don't make a mistake and think that since you were paid there, everything goes. You think you're allowed to eat the dam. You were paid there, allowed to eat the dam. No. Rak adam lo sachelu, alois te shvchenu kamay. Even though I permit you to shecht et chutz lazara, it started off as a carbon. I allow you to shecht et chutz lazara. And now you allow you hatame vato yachtev yachlan and katzvi v'chayol. You're allowed to eat it in a state of tumah, but you're not allowed to eat the dam. Rak adam la sechelo. What should you do with the dam? Aloes tishvachenu kamayim. So the dam shanashama yotzebo, when you shecht it, that's going to kill the animal. The dam shanashama yotzebo is hukash to mayim, is compared to mayim. With respect to what? Just like mayim is machshel lekavol tumah, that's the post kiuta mayim alzera. When you rinse off the food with mayim, it gives it a shem oichol. So the same applies. If you rinse off the food with dam shana shama yotze, but even though it's so not mistabi, what do you mean? You make it edible now? Fakir. The apple is full of dam, so no one's going to eat it now. No one's going to eat it. So that's exeris hakosav. The zayin mashkin are considered al pidin as if they make it edible. If you didn't rinse off, the apple is considered not edible. It's not called oichol. Not royal achila. Once you rinse it off, even though you rinse it off with dam, now it is considered edible. So that's the pasuk that teaches you that dam is hukash lamayim. So dam is only hukash lamayim if it's nishbach kamayim. But dam kochim, that's Rabbi Yechanan said the Chiddush, dam kochim, which is not nishbach kamayim, because you have to collect it in a klisharis and mizarik it on a mizbech, that's not hukash lamayim, that's not machshel lekabutum. So we have all these four kashas. The Mishnah can't be talking about the behemas kochim. If it's a behemas chulin, so the sheni is not always the shlishi v'chulin. So the whole story doesn't make sense. What's the whole issue? Even if it would be huksha, even if the flesh would be huksha with the dam, but the adai mashnius, the adai, he can't transmit, he can't make chulin into a shlishi. The lowest level of tuma by chulin is sheni. It doesn't go lower down. By truma it goes till shlishi. By kochim it goes to revi. By paraduma it goes till chamishi. But that's it. By chulin it doesn't go till shlishi. So the Gemara says, so what is the issue in the Mishnah? What are you afraid of over here? So maybe you're talking about behemas kochim. So behemas kochim goes up until revi. The Gemara says it can't be behemas kochim. First of all, because it has chaya. Behemas kochim can't be a chaya. It can only be behem. Secondly, if it's behemas kochim, how can it be that if the dam doesn't come out, doesn't pose any problem? Of course it's going to pose a problem. The korban you need zvikas adam. The third kasha is, even if the dam would have come out, it wouldn't be machshel lekabel tumah, because dam behemas kochim is not hukash lamayim. The Gemara has all the kasha. It can't be talking about kochim. The su, nacha kasha, if you're talking about kochim, the halacha says that by kochim you don't need heksha mashkim. You don't have to rinse it off with water. The whole purpose of rinsing off with water to give it a shem oichel But kachem is also always called achilas mizbech. That's the part. Heyachol yachol. Besides zerach hashlamim v'yam hashlish and pigul hu lo yiratze. The Gemara says, why does it say a kefal loshan heyachol yachol? Echad achilas adam, echad achilas mizbech. Achilas mizbech is called michael hamizbech. So it should be v'su noch akashe a fifth kashe ibe kachem ki liyatz mem dam loy miskashvi. And if dam didn't come out, there was no dam shanasham or yotze bo. So the Tanakhama holds it's not Hochshila Kabal Tumah. You don't need Hechshah and Kachim. That's the Chibas HaKadosh. The Kachim have a din of Eichlim, even if you don't rinse them off. The Skasha B'Chibas HaKadosh, let it be Hochshah, let it have a Shem Eichel, because it's Kachim. The Kaimel HaChibas HaKadosh Machshir Rosam. So the Gemara has a Pella. How can it be? What kind of a behemah is this? If it's behemah schulin, Yadayim HaShniyos, it can't cause it to become a Shlishi. That's the lowest level of Tumi Hamachulin is Sheni. It's not Oysa Shlishi. And if it's Behemas Kachim, so it goes till Revi, but it can't be talking about Behemas Kachim because of the five Kashas. And for the Gemara, the Mishnah is talking about a Behemah, which is Maisa Sheni. How can a Behemah be Maisa Sheni? Maisa Sheni has to grow from the ground. Maisa Sheni has to be Geduli Karka, something that grew in everything. How can a Behemah be Maisa Sheni? The answer is, if you had maisa sheni, potatoes, tomatoes, oranges, apples, whatever, and then you live too far away from Yerushalayim, you put it onto money, you did pidyon, then you come to Yerushalayim and you do chilul, you take the money, so you switch the kedusha and the money goes now onto the behemah. So you have hechitimtze that the flesh has kedusha as maisa sheni. It can't be the original maisa sheni. Maisa sheni has to be something that grew from the ground in Eretz Yisrael. But it's lakuch because of Maisa Sheni, which has the Kedusha Maisa Sheni. And what's Taka the Din of Maisa Sheni? So for Maisa Sheni, the Pasuk says, Lor b'yayte mimenu b'tomei, Erev Pesach on the fourth year, and Erev Pesach on the seventh year, there's a seven-year cycle. So whatever grows for 6 years, they have to be mafresh chumas and maises. And then whatever grows in the seventh year is Shemitah, so everything is Hefka, so there's no chiv to be mafresh chumas and maises. So the first 2 years of the Shemitah Saka, you mafresh to a Magdala, Maisa Rishi, Maisa Sheni. And then the third year, instead of Maisa Sheni, mafresh Maisa Rani. Then the fourth and the fifth and the sixth years, I repeat again of the first and the second and the third years. So when it comes Erev Pesach of the fourth year, Erev Pesach of the seventh year, you have to give away everything that you have. So true Magdala, you have to give it to a Kohen. Maisa Rishi, you have to give it to the lady. Maisa Ani, you have to give to the Ani. Maisa Rani is the third year and the sixth year. Maisa Sheni, you have to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it quickly. I'll give it to someone else to eat in Yerushalayim. You're not supposed to leave it. You have till Pesach of the next year. The 7 year cycle is broken down 3 years, 3 years, and 1 year, the Shemitah year. So you have until Erev Pesach of the fourth year to give away everything from the first 3 years. That's Shnas HaBir. Shas HaBir. Shnas HaBir. The year in which you do beer is done Shas HaBir. The moment of beer is Erev Pesach. That's the shayla. What the gear says in the Mishnah in the end, the last parak in Masechus Masheni, is it erev yontav harishin shel Pesach, erev yontav achron, the last day chalamot Pesach. We have the gears in the Mishnah erev yontav harishin shel Pesach, and then you're supposed to recite biyati hakodesh min habayis v'gam nesati. I gave everything away, gam nesati la lady, whatever belongs to the lady, whatever belongs to the kohen, I gave everything away. So you recite over there. That's called vidui meiser. We don't know exactly why it's called vidui meiser. He doesn't admit that he did anything wrong. He says, I did everything right. So why is it called vidui? That's the question. So the Tosfos Yontif breaks his head on that. Why is it called vidui? Some have the gears in the Mishnah that you call mikri bikurim, you call vidui bikurim. Also, there's no vidui in bikurim. You don't see any vidui. So that's the question. Why is it called? Rav Salvation once held a gansa drasha. He said he wants, at the Mizrahi convention, he wants to say vidui for the Mizrahi, and then he started praising the Mizrahi. So he said the first step in vidui is you have to recognize the gadlus ha'adam. If you're nobody, so what does that mean? I did an aver and I want to say vidui. So first you have to recognize the gadlus ha'adam, and then you get into the next stage to admit that you did something wrong. So he said he's going to do the first half of the vidui. He's going to praise the Mizrahi and say how great they are. This is one of the printed drushes that they have in the Chamesh Drashot from Salvechi. So the pasuk says when one recites the Vidui Maisa on Erev Yontav Rishon Shel Pesach on the 40th and the 7th year, it says Biyati HaKodesh Ben Abayis, gave everything away, gam nesatim la Levi, Asisa Kachol Shetz Yisani. He did all the mitzvahs properly. That's the Vida Maisa. And he says, Lo Biyartim Imena Bitomi. I did not consume the Maisa Sheini in a state of Tumah. So the Mishnah understands two levels. Lo Biyartim Imena Bitomi. I didn't eat Maisa Sheini when I was Tomi. And I didn't eat Maisa Sheini when I was Tohar and the Maisa Sheini was Tomi. In both cases, you're not allowed to. That's Tumas Aguf, if I'm Tomi. And Tumas HaBosar, it's not flesh, Tumas HaPeris. If the Peris are Tomi, or you're Tomi, in either case, you're not allowed to eat the Maisa Sheini. So the Gemara here is going to discuss that din. That's a din deraisa. You're not allowed to eat Maisa Sheini in the state of Tumah. So what's the din if the person wants to, if you want to eat Truma, and your hands are Tomi, Tumas HaYadayim, so you're going to touch the Truma, you're going to be Metami, unless you have a cookie from Truma. You're going to touch the cookie with your hand, going to be mitame the cookie, so then you can't eat it. So you have to wash and fill this and that. What about Maisa Sheni? He has Tami Adayim Shnias, so he's going to be mitame the cookie of Maisa Sheni if he touches it. What's the din of this? The din of Tumas Ayadayim, that Sheni is also Shlishi, that's by Truma the Klutchen. What about by Maisa Sheni? Is there such a din? So that's what the Gemara is suggesting now. Then they're going to work on it to discuss, is it correct, is it not correct? So the Gemara is at the Zayin. Maybe the Behemah Chayv Yof in the Mishnah is talking about Maisa Sheni. How can it be Maisa Sheni? It doesn't grow from the ground. It's Lakuch Bekesat Maisa Sheni. He was pointed to Maisa Sheni because he lives so far away from Yerushalayim. Kilo Sucho Seiso Kirchak Mimcha Mokem. He lives far away. He was pointed. Then he takes the money to Yerushalayim and he buys Renesat HaKesat Babakar Batzon Bayayin HaBashechar. He buys Bakar Batzon, which is Nagiduli Karka, and he buys that. So that's what the Gemara suggests. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Babu. That's the pshat in the Mishnah. Ach bechulin shalakach mekesef ma'aser askinan. The Mishnah is talking. The behemah is ma'aser sheni behemah. How can it be? He was paid in ma'aser sheni. He took the money to Yerushalayim. When you paid in the ma'aser sheni onto the money, that's called pidyon. When you take the money to Yerushalayim, you buy the bread, you buy the flesh. That's called chilul. First is in technical terms. Then it's called chilul. So the Rab Nachman suggests, and then Rabbi Avuah, that's the pshat in the Mishnah. The behema is a ma'aser sheni behema, behema chayv yoyf, and stam yadayim shniyah sein, and that we know, that's a machlokes hatanoim, they dug up a Mishnah. The Mishnah goes, our Mishnah goes, the loike Rab Meir. Usually stam Mishnah is Rab Meir, here's a stam Mishnah, is the loike Rab Meir, that's a chisaren. Your pshat, the hinktunta abdissel. Usually a stam Mishnah, is, it doesn't say who it is. See, the Tana who disagrees in the Mishnah is Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon disagrees with the Tanakam. Tanakam is anonymous, so usually an anonymous Mishnah is Reb Meir. Now the Gemara is going to say a strange pshat. The Stam Mishnah, the Loker Reb Meir, the Snan. We have a Mishnah in Maseches Porah. Kol aton v'yosmai midirei soifrim. A person is only Tami midir Rabbanon. So Rashi tells you a few examples. So one example is this. Stam Yadayim Shniyah Sein is Tami midir Rabbanon. Metami es hakodesh upoisel es hatruma. Let's say stam yadayim ashniyos. So if you touch kachim, it makes it into a shlishi, and then the kachim will touch another kachim and make it into a revi. The tumah will go weiter, revi. But if you touch truma, stam yadayim shniyos will touch truma. It won't make it into a shlishi. That if the truma will call kachim, will touch kachim, will make it into a revi. That's the end of the line. If stam yadayim shniyos and you touch truma, the truma will become pasul. It'll have a psul tuma. It's not that it's makabel tuma. It'll have a psul tuma, and that's the end of the line. So that's what the Mishnah uses the lashon mitame es hakodesh sam yadayim hashniyos. So if you touch kochim, touch a korban, you make it into a shlishi. So if that korban will touch another piece of flesh of a korban and make it into a revi. However, pasul es hatruma. If I touch stam yadayim, touch truma, so it just passels it. It doesn't make it into a shlishi. That if the truma will touch kochim, it'll make it into a revi. It just puzzles it as puzzle.
We don't call that making an extra
V,
that it jumps two steps. The stop end of the line. When it touches the
Truma.
Yeah.
So, what do you call the end of the line? That's the end of the line. The Truma becomes puzzle, but it doesn't become, it's not called Shlishi.
And it won't puzzle anything else.
Right, will not puzzle anything else. Right. So you don't call it a Shlishi. If you would have called it a Shlishi, it would have the power to, if it touches kachim, to transmit the tumah to the kachim as a revi. So it says no. Chume that touches sheni becomes pasul. It's a psul tumah. But if you have stam yadayim shniyah sein, A person, his tummy is not allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni. So that's if the whole body is tummy. What if he has this figure majigma de Rabbanan, that the hands are tummy, the rest of the body is tummy? He doesn't eat the Maaseh Sheni with his hands, he eats with his mouth. He eats in his mouth and it goes down here. So you can argue the point, you can say, the rest of the body, if he wouldn't have hands, he would also be able to eat the Maaseh Sheni. You don't need hands to eat. So one could argue the point, he's not eating the Maaseh Sheni with his hands. On the other hand, his body is eating the Maaseh Sheni. Part of the body is tummy. So that's a machlok. It's a funny din. On the level of the Raisa, there's nothing to discuss. It doesn't exist. There is no such a chetim, so that part of the body, the hands are tummy, and the rest of the body is tummy. But on the level of the Rabbanan, there's tam yadayim ashniyah saying. So Reb Meir says he's permitted to eat Maaseh Sheni. He's only not allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni if the whole guf adam is tummy. But if only the hands are tummy, that's not a problem. V'chachamim, yeah, chulin is avada mutar to eat. That's very strange. What does it say, mutar b'chulin? Of course, mutar b'chulin. What's the chiddush? Means even if he'll touch, a tummy is allowed to eat chulin. But it means even if he touches the chulin, he won't be mutar. Because the sheni is not also shlishi b'chulin. I was going to quote later Rabbi Akiva. When we learned Saita, we have Rabbi Akiva holds that the sheni is also shlishi b'chulin. We'll get to that later. But so far the Gemara says, the Mishnah, as he said, Rav Nachman says, the Mishnah must be talking about Behema Chai V'yoif, which is Maaseh Sheni, Lokuch, because of Maaseh Sheni, and the Mishnah goes, the Loike Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds, the hands are Tomei, doesn't prevent me from eating Maaseh Sheni, this doesn't pose a problem. But Chachamim Maaseh Maaseh Sheni. The Chachamim say, Yenarla, they don't disagree with chulin. A sheni is not metame chulin. A sheni, even though hands are tummy, he's allowed to eat chulin. And if he touches the chulin, it's not going to cause it to become tummy. That's not a problem. So the chacham will only disagree with Reb Meir that since the hands are tummy, he's not allowed to eat maaseh sheni. But chacham and maisrim and maise, he's not allowed to eat maaseh sheni. The Gemara says the Mishnah goes against Reb Meir. Yeah, unusual. A stam Mishnah deloike Reb Meir. That's very rare. Every so often you have it, but it's very rare. And that's what the Mishnah is talking about. If the dam came out, so the dam shanashama yotzba is machsha the flesh, so the flesh will be huchsha the kabal tumeh. So then his stam yadayim prevents him from eating the maaseh sheni, because you're not allowed to eat maaseh sheni in a state of tumeh. So the Gemara says it doesn't read straight. The Mishnah doesn't say, my hands are tummy, therefore I can't eat Maaseh Sheni. He says, my hands are tummy, if I touch the flesh, if the flesh was huchshar, then my hands will be metame the flesh. If the flesh was loy huchshar, my hands can touch from today till tomorrow, not going to be mekabel tumah. Because oichlim is only mekabel tumah with huchshar. So the Mishnah is not talking about the issue that the Mishnah in Pora, the Gemara quoted the Mishnah in Pora, machlekes ramnei nechacham, if your hands are tummy, the rest of your body is tohar. So Rav Meir says, you're not eating the Maaseh Sheni with your hands, you eat with the mouth and the stomach. So that part of the body is tummy. The Chachamim say, no, part of your body is tummy, a tummy is not allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni. But what has it got to do with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is talking, when you touch the flesh, naniach, the flesh has kedushas Maaseh Sheni, because you bought it with the kesef Maaseh Sheni. When you touch the flesh with your hands, so the hands will transmit tumah. We're talking about transmitting tumah. They're not talking about eating it in a state of tumah because my hands are tumah. What does it have to do with that Mishnah in Parah?
Well, we make the touch of diamond before we eat. Are we getting rid of the tumah? We make it before every meal when making a tumah.
Right, that's a question. That was what we started learning in Chulon, so we started from Kalabasa. So in the beginning of Kalabasa, the Gemara had a lot of dinim about Ntilas Yadayim. There's all Maseches Yadayim, has more dinim. But in the Gemara, it's discussed mainly over here in Kalabasa. So in the beginning of Kalabasa, we discussed there's a big machlekes harishanim. If you want to eat truma, so you have to do netilas yadayim to remove the tumah, because tam yadayim shnias, and if you're not going to wash netilas yadayim, the hands will be tame. You'll touch the truma, you'll transmit the tumah from your hands, the truma will become pasul. It won't become shlishi, but it'll become pasul, like it says over here. So that's why you have to wash until it's time before you eat truma, to make sure that even they're going to wear gloves, you're going to eat the sandwich with a glove. But since normal people can eat truma without a glove and they can touch the truma with their hands and not pasul it, so they made a takana merabana, you have to wash until it's time. So Now they made another takana. You have to wash until Zidane before you eat bread. Well, says all of us are tummy. Everybody's tummy. I went to a funeral. So I'm an avatuma. The mei says, avi avois. I was in the same room. I'm an avatuma. It's not going to help. I can wash my hands from today till tomorrow. I can go to all the mikvahs I want. I'm still going to be tummy. You can only shake off tumas meis if you have paraduma water. You sprinkle hazor shlishi shvi. Then you go to the mikveh. So we're all tummy anyway. So what is the whole netilas adayim about? That's a major machlek is the Rambam and the Raivin machlek. So what is it all about? So the Rambam holds that it's only mishum nikiyus. Netilas adayim, the truma is to remove the tumas hayadayim. That if you're not wearing gloves, you're going to touch the truma, you're going to transmit the tuma to the truma. So you have to wash until it's a dime. I mean, if we are wearing gloves, but until it's a dime for eating bread for chulin, has nothing at all to do with tuma. It's only an issue of nikiyus, mishum nikiyus. Kach tikna chachamim. And the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says no. That's mishum srach truma. They made a takana by truma that yadayim shniyos, so you're going to be mitame the truma, and they carried it over to bread. You should have carried it over to eating apples and potatoes and oranges, melons and everything. They didn't. For some reason or another, they only carried it over to bread. But you have the both elements there, Mishum Tume and also Mishum Nikias. Both elements are there. What's an afkaminitzi, mizak tahin, mizak taher? So one difference is that you need maim shniim. The Mishnah has, when you're washing the tilis of daim for trume, so the water is like a person is toivel in a mikveh. So if you have a mikveh, mem soa, so the tume disappears and the water does not become tome. Tume on the person disappears and it doesn't cause it to go. So if you pour a lot of water on each hand, you pour a revius water on each hand, so that it's like being tovel in a mikveh. So there's no tumah any longer on the hands, and the water is tahoros. What if I poured less than a revius on each hand? So the hand becomes tahor, but the water becomes tummy. So you want it. So the water is tummy. So what? So in order to be mitar the water, if you wash mayim shniyim, then you remove the tumah from the mayim rishonim on the hand. So that's so the Mishnah in Yadayim requires mayim shniyim when a person is washing the tilis adayim for truma. Because there he wants to remove all the tumas adayim. What about for eating chulin? If you're eating bread. So we in America, we turn on the faucet, we have so much water. So usually you pour more than a revius on each hand. Put more than a revius, so strictly speaking, there's no issue. There's no shame. But many still have they carry over the practice, because a lot of people don't pour so much water. They pour a little bit of water on the hand. They pour less than a revius. A revius is the volume of an egg and a half. It's very hard to pour so little water to cover the whole surface of the hand. The hands, I don't know how they ever did it. How can you cover the whole surface of the hands with water less than a revius? I don't know. But many people pour very little water. So according to the Ravid, there's a requirement to wash maim shniim, but until it's adayim l'chulin also, because it's mishum srach truma. It's a hemshech from the takana by truma. You have to worry about tumas adayim also, not just about nikiyas. And the Rambam says, no, mayim shneim is only if you're washing until it's adayim for truma, and if you're washing for bread, there's no need for mayim shneim. That's one nafkamina. Then the other nafkamina is the chayodim raised an issue. Let's say in the middle of a person washing, is eating a sandwich, in the middle, he touches a sefer Torah. He touches a pair of tefillin. So the din is that sefer Torah and tefillin and mezuzah is matamis hayadayim. So if you have to be careful about tumas hayadayim when you want to eat bread, so if you touch a sefer Torah in the middle, you have to wash your hands again. But if you say it's only mishum nikiyus, so this doesn't pose a problem on nikiyus if I touch a sefer Torah. I think I once mentioned that someone asked my father, Shaila, he has the practice, he's mavis sedra in the middle of his meal on Friday night. So he thought that Kisvei HaKodesh and Matamis Adayim, even a printed chumash, he thought it was Matamis Adayim. So he wanted to know, what about the Chayo Adam's Chumra? That if you touch the Sefer Torah in the middle of the meal, touch tefillin in the middle, you have to wash again. So maybe if he touches the chumash, he has to wash again. So the din is no. Kisvei HaKodesh Matamis Adayim is only written on parchment. It's printed on a piece of paper by the Hebrew Publication Society, the Jewish Publication Society. That's not Matamis Adayim. That's not an issue. But if you touch a pair of tefillin in the middle, then it's Matamis Adayim. So that'll be an afkamina between the Rambam and the Ravid. But then until it's Adayim for bread that we have the practice today, is that only Mishum Nikiyus, so touching tefillin doesn't pose a problem? Even the Ritzuas, the Eitz Chaim is also Matamis Adayim. The Eitz Chaim of the Sefer Torah is also Matamis Adayim. The Gemara says in the first Perek in Shabbos, the reason why Sefer Torah is Matamis Adayim It goes, Osa lecha sefer Torah orum. You're not allowed to hold the sefer Torah with your bare hands. It's not respectful to the sefer Torah. So to serve as a deterrent, so they made a din with the rabban. If you touch the sefer Torah, it's been tami your hands, you have to wash again the tilla sedai. So that's a shaila. So why is the Eitz Chaim tami sedai? Eitz Chaim is there in order that you should be allowed to hold it. So, but the tefillin also, you have to put on tefillin, you have to hold the bias. What's wrong? You didn't do anything wrong. You hold the bias, then you hold the ritzuas. What did he do wrong? He didn't do anything wrong. But that's what the Mishnah says, that the ritzuas are metamis hayadayim, and the batam are metamis hayadayim, and the Eitz Chaim is metamis hayadayim. So the Magen Avraham quotes, there were some achrayim who thought that when you get an aliyah, it's disrespectful to hold on to the Eitz Chaim with your bare hands. You have to be mafsik with the talis. You have to hold the Eitz Chaim with the talis. That's a chumrah. That's a big chumrah. Right. So some are machma like that. Some are machma when they get an aliyah. He says you shouldn't. The Shari Tshuva talks about this. Magen Avraham shouldn't do it in a conspicuous fashion. It's going to be noticeable. That's not proper to advertise to the public that I'm observing this chumrah. So to do hagbah, it's going to be very noticeable. The guy's going to pick up the sefer Torah with the talis mafsik. It's going to be very noticeable. When you get an aliyah, so some are choshish for that opinion. Supposed to wash a little more than the tip. Supposed to wash off that part of the thing. The Gemara had two reasons for my machrenin. One concern was because of they used to touch the salt with their fingers. And if you rub the salt in your eyes, you can cause harm to your eyes. One concern is melech zemes. And the other concern is, if your fingers are sticky, that person had ice cream, the ice cream dipped all over his fingers, and he licked everything up. But the fingers are going to be sticky. So he won't touch his white shirt, or he won't touch a book. You won't touch a book with sticky fingers. It's going to make a grease mark. So, yodai mizuham is apsulus librochi. He's not allowed to say burn the fascists. I said, the guy had ice cream that's dripping all over. He has to wash my machrenim before he says burn the fascists. Or let's say he's in the middle of the meal. In the middle of the meal. So he said, he started the face with the ice cream and it dripped all over. Then he wants to say huadama on the potatoes. Afterwards, you have to wash your hands before they say huadama. If your fingers are sticky, you have to wash. That's called Mai Mem Tzoyim, in between one course and the other. Years ago, they didn't have cutlery. Everybody ate with their fingers, not only Chassidim ate Shiraim. Everybody ate with their fingers. They didn't have forks, they didn't have knives. They used to rip apart the flesh and use your hands to eat everything. So the hands always got greasy and sticky. They didn't have spoons either. They used to drink from the bowl. They used to drink the soup directly from the bowl. So that's the Shaila. In recent years, we have cutlery, so the fingers don't get sticky, unless you're chewing the chicken with your fingers. We don't have melech sedomis, we have salt shakers, and we don't touch the salt with our fingers. So most of the time, there shouldn't be any cause for mayim achrayinu at all. So that's what the Bali HaTesis, in the beginning of Kol HaBos, HaTesis says they don't wash mayim achrayinu, because the both considerations don't apply today. And in Shulchan Aruch, many say, especially by the Svardim. The Svardim are makbid, based on Kabbalah more, Apinigla, based on the Gemara, should be that you don't have to wash mayim achrayim today, unless your fingers are all sticky. But based on Nigla, you shouldn't have to wash, but based on Kabbalah sources, the Sfarim still wash mayim achrayim. Yeah, but you're supposed to wash that part of the fingers that are sticky, however much of the fingers are sticky. You're supposed to wash off all of the grease. Shouldn't be yadayim mizuham psulus lebrachah. And it shouldn't be with Melech Sedemus. So the Gemara is suggesting that the Mishnah, the concern in the Mishnah is, the guy's hands are Tomei, so part of his body is Tomei, and the Pasuk says, by Ma'aseh Sheni, le'biyartem emene b'tomei, I didn't consume the Ma'aseh Sheni in a state of Tumah. And Rav Meir disagrees, so it's Stam Mishnah d'loik Rav Meir. Mishnah goes like the Chachamim and the Mishnah in Parah, that you're not allowed to eat Ma'aseh Sheni, even though your whole body is tohar, and the neck and the stomach are tohar, but if the hands are tamei, part of your body is tamei. So the Gemara says it doesn't fit into the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't say you're worried about eating ma'aseh sheni b'tumah. If the flesh was like huchsha, you may eat it. It's only concerned if the flesh was huchsha, then you're going to touch it. So nobody in the Mishnah said that the stam yadayim ashnias will pasul the ma'aseh sheni. The only machlekes in the Mishnah in Parah was, if your hands are tamei, is it forbidden for you to eat ma'aseh sheni? Because you're in a state of tumah. Part of your body is tamei. So you declare a tamei is eating ma'aseh sheni. But it's not the concern. That's what the Gemara asks on the fourth line. Maskev Lavasimi Barashi, the Pshat doesn't fit in. Mimai. How does that fit in? It's not right. Dilma Adkan Lapligir Rabbanu Leider Ameir, Elabachila. Elabachila's Meiser. Rabbanu disagree with her mayor. Part of your body is Tama, the Adaima Tama. He said, not like eat Meiser Shani in his state of Tuma. Avo Benegir de Meiser, Achila de Chulan Lapligir. But if you touch Meiser Shani with your fingers, you're going to say, the hands are tummy, so it makes the Meiser Shani tummy. No, if you have your daim shnias, you touch truma, you touch kachim, you'll passel a truma, you'll be metami the kachim. But if you touch Meiser Shani, nobody says. Just like they never argue on achila de chulin, they never argue on negiyah de Meiser. Look, Ligi. For her, in our Mishnah, negiyah. Our Mishnah is not talking about the issue of eating Meiser Shani in a state of having your hands tummy. Mishnah is talking about touching it. Midiktani nechonim yadaim sohavis. The whole discussion is, if the flesh was huchshar and you're going to touch it with your hands, you're going to make it tummy. If flesh was loy huchshar, you can touch it all you want, and it's not mekabel tumah. So the whole pshat has no shaychis. The Gemara Tain is, mi loy askinan, doesn't the Mishnah seem to be including the following case, the kosofa lechavri, someone else is feeding me. Because the other guy has your daimus huavais, and he's touching the maisesh, he's touching the food, and he's putting it in my mouth. I'm not touching the food. So it's not an issue of the person who has the Yodayim Tameyas is eating the Maaser Sheni. No, he's not eating it. That's the Machlek Zamein HaChachamim in the Mishnah in Parah. Is there a problem, a person whose hands are Tamei, but the rest of the body is Tar? So he eats the Maaser Sheni with the mouth and with the stomach. He doesn't eat with the fingers. So that's the Machlek Zamein HaChachamim. But our Mishnah is talking about someone's feeding me. Nechol Yodayim Zavis, where the Yodayim Tameyas, Shniyas, did they succeed in giving me Tamei the Maaser Sheni? Nobody in the Mishnah said that. In the Mishnah in part, nobody said that. That Stami Yadayim Shniyas can succeed in transmitting Tumah to the Maaser Sheni. Nobody says that. Elom Rapapa must be a different shot. So the Gemara is going to give a whole different shot. No, we're not talking about Yadayim Shniyas. We're talking about Yadayim that are Arishon L'Tumah. Arishon L'Tumah. How did that happen? The rest of the body is Tahar, and the Yadayim is Rishon L'Tumah. It doesn't exist. The Gemara says it doesn't exist. So the Gemara digs up the din. The din is if you have a bayis hamenuga, which also never existed. One Tana says it never existed, then it will exist. But the Rosh Mekabel Schar. So we discussed our laws. Okay. So we have din in deraisa, that's the Rosh Mekabel Schar. But then the Rabbanon they made dinim on this non-existent bayis hamenuga. That's very strange. Machlek is in the Gemara Sanhedrin in Perek Mensorah Mora. So one Tana says, Mensorah Mora, the conditions are so rare. Father and the mother have to be the same height and the same facial features and the same weight and the same squeaky voice. How can it be? The husband has a woman's voice. The wife has a man's voice. The whole thing is so far-fetched. So one Tana says, it never was and it never will be. So why is it written in the Tuchumah, in the Chumash, Drosh V'Kamoschach? And the Gemara quotes one Tana says, Bais HaMenuga. So Raz Batu never was and never will be. And the third Tana says, Irani Dach never was and never will be. All right, so you have dinim and the chumash on this thing that never was and never will be. But now the Gemara is going to say they made dinim the rabbanon on the thing that never was. Why they make dinim the rabbanon if it never was and never will? Very strange, right? So the din is habal abayis. When the bayis is tamei, if someone walks into the bayis, it becomes tahar. So that's the shaila. They need bias kula or bia b'miktas. Bia means habal abayis when he enters the bayis. So let's say when he walks in Rosh Avirubo, that's a person is in the sukkah, Rosh HaVeruba, and he has his legs out of the sukkah. The Rosh HaVeruba in the sukkah is Yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah, Rosh HaVeruba in the sukkah. So let's say a person walks into the Bais HaManuga, Rosh HaVeruba enters. That's Habol HaBais, he becomes Tomei, he becomes an Av HaTumah. But what if he only did Bia B'Biktus, he only sticks his hands into the Bais HaManuga? Is that Mitame him or not? So if you would have said Bia B'Miktus, Shmo Bia, then the whole Guf HaAdam would become Tomei. So we assume Bia B'miktas Lo Shmo Bia. He just stuck his hands into the bais. Here's the wall. He stuck his hands in. So the rest of the body is Tahar. Do the hands become Tamei? So on the level of the eyes, the hands do not become Tamei. Because he wasn't Boal HaBayis. Boal HaBayis means Rosh HaVeruba. So now there's a machlekes on the level of the Rabbanon. They made a din with the Rabbanon. Why in the world did they have to make up a din the Rabbanon on a Dovish Elohayv Elohayos Elias? On a bais HaManuga? I don't know. Very strange. So the Gemara says, that's going to be a machlekes hatanoim. What's the nature of the din rabbanon? He stuck his hands into the bayis hamenuga. So on the level of the rice, the Rosh HaVeruba is outside. He's not called bo'al habayis. That's called bia b'miktas. You know where you have the machlekes bir mimikdash also. A person is tame and he enters the Beis Hamikdash in a state of tuma. So that's an isur kares. He enters the Beis Hamikdash. What if he only sticks his hands into the Beis Hamikdash? So the mitzora has to stick his hand. The mitzora stands in the Ezras Nashim and he sticks his hands into the Azorah, in order that they should do the Hazor from the Asham Mitzora on Bon Yodai Mon, his Bon Rag, and he sticks his toe in, and they do. So the Gemara in the first parak in Yevam is Hazamach like his Amarayim, where the Bia Mimikzah Shmo be over there. That's when Adam Tomei enters the Azor B'Mikzah. Some said that you Shom had a Chumre, that you shouldn't put Kvitlach in between the stones of the Kaisel Amaravi, because they thought the whole thickness of the Kaisel Amaravi may have Kedushas Harabayas, and it's Bia B'Mikzah when you stick your fingers in to put the Kvitl in. So that's a Bia B'Mikzah. You're entering partially into the, your person is in the state of Tumah, so he's entering partially into the Harabayas in the state of Tumah. So Avin Nezer writes about that Chumrah, that that's utterly ridiculous. We knew the Maharil Diskin used to be the Rav in Brisk, and then he had to run away. The government was out to get him. So he ran away, he ran to Eretz Yisrael. So he was machmer and everything under the sun. He laughed at this. He thought this was a big joke, that you're not allowed to put kvitlachim because Bia B'Mikzah. He says, Bia B'Mikzah shayla on the Azor, not on the Harabayas. He says, nobody ever said the whole thickness of the Kaisel Maravi is as Kedushas Harabayas. That's impossible. Maybe from the midpoint on. But the outside side, we stand on the outside side of the Kaisel Maravi. That for sure doesn't have Kedushas. The whole thing is a joke, he said. But those are the two places we have this discussion. Bia B'Mikzah, a person sticks his hand into the Bais HaMenuga, but Rosh HaBeruba is outside. So we pass Kim Bia B'Mikzah's Lavshma Bia, his whole goof doesn't become Tameh. Midirabon and the hands become Tameh. So that's going to be a Machlekes HaTanaim. To what extent? Does it become a Rishon or does it become a Sheni? And then there's a Machlekes also. Bia B'Mikzah's a person, Adam Tameh, sticks his hands into the Azora, not into the Harabai, sticks his hand into the Azora. What's the din over there? Is that an exception to the rule that the mitzvah is allowed to, we give him a heter, he's allowed to do bia b'mikzah, otherwise he can't be zarek the dam from the Hashem mitzvah? Or do you say, no, ikar adin, bia b'mikzah is not a problem. So we'll have to continue next week with that. A little bit of tumah v'tara. Okay. In this week's sedra, we have the mitzvah of gid anosha. Yank Ravina fights with the Malach. It's unclear who won the fight, but the Haftarah says that Yank won the fight. The Malach broke his leg, but Yank Ravina won the fight. The Torah says, because of this incident, Al-Kein Le'yochel B'nei Yisrael is Gid Anoshe. So the Gemara has a Machlekes HaTanaim. How do you translate the words B'nei Yisrael? B'nei Yisrael means the children of Yank Ravina. His name was just changed by the Malach, the Yank, to Yisrael. So his children are already told they're not allowed to eat Gid Anoshe on this occasion. Oh no! This is a historical background that explains what Gid Anoshe is about, but wasn't given till later. The children of Israel does mean the children of Yankel Avinu. Mitzvah Gid Anoshe wasn't given till later. So that's the Poshe Pshat in the Mishnah in Chulin, Per Gid Anoshe. When was the Mitzvah Gid Anoshe given? Was it given to B'nei Yankel, if it wasn't given till after Maimon HaSinai? So the Rambam, that's how Taisus learns. The Rambam does not accept that Pshat, because it's a Medrash Bereishis Rabbo, where the Medrash says that Adam Rishon was given six mitzvahs. He wasn't given the din of Eif Menachai because he had to be a vegetarian, so he couldn't eat flesh at all. It was only mutter to eat flesh after the Mabul, when the Rabban Shalom tells Noach, Kiyar Keis of Nesat Elachem is called, just like until now you were allowed to eat fruits and vegetables, now you can eat flesh. And when the Rabban Shalom gave him the heter to eat flesh, then he told them, you're not allowed to eat Eif Menachai. So that's why we call it Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Six of the Sheva Mitzvahs were given to Adam Rishon and Gan Eden, but the seventh one, the Eben Achai, wasn't given until after the Mabul. So that's why we refer to it as the Sheva Mitzvahs B'Ninah. So the Rambam writes, this way the world was going from the days of Adam Rishon till Noach, from Noach till Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was given one additional mitzvah, Bris Milah. Yitzchak Avinu was given an additional mitzvah, he was given the opportunity to be Mafresh Trumas, based on a Medrash Rabbah. That it says, Vayimtza Me'er Shorim. He found he planted, and it was a Shnas Ro'ov, and it was in Chevel Aza, and he planted and he got 100 times what he expected was going to grow. Why was he making a calculation how much will probably grow? So Rashi quotes from the Medrashah, he's making an Oymid Le Maisris, trying to calculate how much Maisris is he probably going to be in Mafrish, And turned out that it was 100 times what he expected. So you see, Yitzchak Avinu was given the opportunity to be mafresh maisis. And Yaakov Avinu was given the mitzvah of Gid Anosha. So it clearly was given in the days of Yaakov Avinu. So what's the machloikas satanayim? So the Rambam says, no. Everybody agrees it was given to Yaakov Avinu. Machloikas satanayim is, why is it that we today still continue to observe this mitzvah of Gid Anosha? Is it because it was given to Yaakov Avinu and is binding throughout all of future generations? Or no? It was given to Yaakov Avinu, that must have been a Hayroah Shoah. It must have been repeated by Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, because the only mitzvahs that are binding throughout all the future generations are those that are given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Navi, Adon HaNavim. It means he was the only one who was given Torah. By definition, all the others were given Nevuah. Nevuah, by definition, means Hayroah Shoah. So the Rambam makes a big point of this, and the Pirush HaMishnah is on Perek Yirah Noshe. He says that we today still continue to observe Gid Anosha, not because it was given to Yaakov Avinu, but rather because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. Then the Rambam adds on that we today still continue to observe Bris Milah, the same thing, not because it was given to Avraham Avinu, but rather because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the major distinction between the Orthodox and all the other branches of Judaism is the Ikar and the Rambam. The Rambam has the 13 Ikari Hemunas. So the main Ikar is that the laws of the Torah are immutable. The laws of the Torah don't change. A lot of times the world is changing, the Metzias is changing, but the laws of the Torah never change. So why the laws of the Torah, why such an obstinate insistence the laws of the Torah never change? The answer is because the laws of the Torah are a reflection of the Muz Diyuknu Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a description of Elokus. The only one who was shown Elokus, Tmunas Hashem Yabid, the only one who was shown this glimpse of Elokus was Moshe Rabbeinu. So we today observe mitzvahs from 3,000 years ago. What was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, what was given to the other prophets is Hayroah Shoah. That's not necessarily a description of Elokus. Whatever was told to Moshe Rabbeinu is a description of Elokus. Derech Mashal, the Chumash is called a Mashal Akadmani, a description of Elokus. So that's this ikar the Rambam has on Gid Anosha, that's Parshas Vayishlach. That's the whole basis of orthodoxy, is based on that. We say, what do you mean, modern orthodox? It's a contradiction in terms. Orthodox means that the laws of the Torah don't change. Modern means that you're up to date. How can be up to date? There's nothing to be up to date about. The answer is, all the tshuvas of Rav Moshe Feinstein, all the tshuvas of all the Achrayim, they all discuss, is it the exact same shaila that used to be 50 years ago? Maybe due to changing circumstance, maybe it's a different shaila. A different shaila sometimes deserves a different tshuva, deserves a different psak. But the laws of the Torah don't change. The laws of the Torah always stay the same. So all the tshuvas that Rav Moshe wrote and all the tshuvas that all the poskim write, they're discussing, you have to update the halacha. Is it still the same shaila that it used to be? Due to changing circumstance, maybe it's a different shaila. But the laws of the Torah never change. The laws of the Torah are immutable. So that's the Rambam Zikar on Gid Anosha. That the laws of the Torah are immutable if they were given by Moshe Rabbeinu. Whatever was given by different Navi is not necessarily a chelik of the description of Elokus, and it could well be that it's only Hayroah Shoah. Shalom Aleichem.
Is Purell a Naftamina?
What do you mean Purell?
Purell, that for the Rambam who says it's about Nikias, so if you wash with Purell.
No, that was the Takoni, you have to wash from a Kli. Natla. Netila Sedai means Miloshin. Natla. Natla is a Kli.
What is Tumor can a sword?
What, this? Yeah, I could.
It's different
Kli.
A
couple of months.
A sword.
A Kli. Right.
No, but it, so it can't go. It can't.
Like Adam and Caleb. It can be a Rishon. If I'm an Av, I touch other Mikhailim, I'm making it to Rishon. It can never be a change. Just like God.